And we are live on Blog Talk Radio for the game plan. It's a lot better when you win. In fact, I feel like somebody has said that before. No, we took that off there. That's quite all right. Coach said that at one point. Coach is going to say a lot of things here today. We've got some stuff from the press conference. I definitely wanted to play some of the ones from today. But welcome to the game plan. Like I said, it's a lot better when you win. And if you're a Georgia State Panther, it's still a good dang day. Ran into Charlie Cobb, as this weekend's game was ending. And I said, heck of a game. He said, yeah. I said, it's a great day to be a Georgia State Panther. And he said, it's an absolute great day. Everything came together for the team. The offense was clicking. There's some things they could do a little better, but the offense was clicking. The defense was making stops. And the special teams was doing pretty good as well. And one thing Coach did say, and we will get into that here in a minute. I'm going to get into some NCAA stuff a little later. We'll start with the Panthers. If you guys here are just joining us. One thing to I want to make sure I get this score right. Pretty sure I remember what it is. But one thing Coach did say needs to be improved a little bit is a little more focus on special teams. But he couldn't point to one thing, you know. Here we go. There we go. There's what we're looking for. All right, the UL Monroe Warhawks, let me just say, not only were there people and fans and the team and the coaches just fantastic, and I will get into a pretty cool story here in a minute about that, but, and I hated that it kind of went as lopsided as it did, because they were so nice, and they're really cool, really great about things, but UL Monroe Warhawks decided to try to set up camp at Georgia State Stadium, and the Panthers said, nope, this is our house. 46-14 is your overall score. 46-14. Now, I know you guys are going to want some stats, so let's go for some final stats here. If we can... There we go. There's the one I'm looking for. Here's some really cool stats. Georgia State had 20 first downs to ULM's 13. They had 56 rushes for 308 yards, school record, I believe. Let's see, 487 yards of total offense. Let's see, we had 3 punt returns for 67 total yards. Yeah, Penny Hart he returned a punt for a touchdown. I'll get you a little more into that here in a minute, but that is the first in school history. First punt return for a touchdown in school history. 2 interceptions for Georgia State. Only had to punt 3 times. Had a net average of 49 yards on those. That's incredible. A little more fumbles than we really wanted. We did have 7 penalties for 70 yards, but it didn't factor in. Time of possession, 22 minutes for ULM. Georgia State, 38 minutes. That's incredible. Third down conversions. The Warhawks were 2 of 11. Georgia State, 9 of 16. 9 of 16. That's awesome. Fourth down conversions, we are 1 of 2. They're 1 of 1. Red zone scores and chances, 5 for 5 for the Panthers. I mean, can we? That's awesome. Seth Page led all rushers with 9 carries for 145 yards and 2 touchdowns. Dan Ellington, 16 rushes for 64 yards. He had a touchdown. Trey Barnett added 62 yards and a touchdown. Dawson Hill ended up with a couple carries and 21 yards. Dan Ellington, 15 for 18 for 179 and a touchdown. He was sacked 3 times, but I think they were cover sacks. Receiving, Penny Hart. He had 7 receptions on the day. Sam Pinckney, 2 huge catches, including a 55-yarder for 74 yards. A couple catches for Devin Gentry. Destin Coates getting in on the action there. Quavian White was the big tackle leader for the day. Remy Lazarus with another big day. Chase Middleton. Mr. Taylor had some as well. It's just overall one of the most complete games that I have ever seen them, that I've ever seen them play. Just like I said, you can't get much better than the way they play. Just incredible. Some of my game notes here before we get into some of the things there. Great fast first drive. It was a big pass play set up by quarterback rollout. The naked bootleg almost has it's one of my dad's favorite plays. For the touchdown, that made it 7-0. Interception on ULM's first drive sets up a Georgia State second drive for a touchdown. 14-0 there. Second ULM drive results in a touchdown. They ended up rushing for it there. 14-7. This game was kind of close for a minute. Here we go. Longest run in school history from Georgia State. And that was, who did I tell you there? That was longest run in school history, like 77 yards or whatever. Makes it 27-7. Late in the first half, a 42-yard field goal from Brandon Wright. 42 yards, that's no slouch. With a minute 51 to go, that made it 30-14. And it just kept going all the way up till, like I said, it ended up being 46-14. Just incredible. Overall, now let's get to some of the clips we have from today. This is a little bit of a long one, a little over a minute. This is Coach's kind of opening statement on what he saw.
First of all, it feels really good to come up here and have played the way we played and really all three phases of our football game and all three phases of the game. A ULM team that's really had some momentum. I mean, they're very well coached. They've got great skill players. Their quarterback, Caleb Evans, I mean, always capable of doing something really, really big. And I think our defense held them a third fewest yards in school history. Total yards, we talk about doing things for the first time around here. That's what's really so great about you. You can do a lot of things for the very, very first time and be the change and do all that stuff. Most rushing yards in school history. Longest run from scrimmage in school history. First punt return for a touchdown in school history. This was a very, very good day for us. A very, very rewarding day for us. We've had a rough couple of weeks. We've had a pretty good non-conference schedule. That sometimes those losses can really dictate how your team really grows and how it becomes the character building, you know, the success, all those things. I mean, it was really, really ugly. You know, there was a lot of ugliness in those first three contests. But to see it come together in one game here against ULM, in our stadium, at Georgia State Stadium, in front of our fans, to have as much excitement should really put people into seats. That's what it should. Because there's an opportunity to do this a few more times. There certainly are. But really thrilled to death with the team's performance.
Yeah. And he hits on something that that we're going to get to here in a minute. But, yeah, just incredible effort. Incredible effort. Now, here is Penny Hart on his touchdown from the punt return touchdown, and what he saw. If I'm not mistaken, you might recognize the guy asking the question.
Penny, let's start right with the first punt return in school history. You know, what do you see on the play? Is there something you saw? Because you like to do a lot of fair catches because the defense is usually on you. What did you see on that one that was different?
I mean, Coach Collins, at halftime, he told us that first one that our fair caught, he said it was there. And to just trust that everybody was going to make their blocks. And that's what happened. We had time. They, you know, he outkicked his coverage a little bit. And, you know, it was just touchdown from there, you know, doing what we had to do.
There you go. One way to light a fire under Penny Hart, not that he needs more motivation, because that guy, he reminds me of Steve Smith. And not just because he's small, not just because he's a receiver, but he plays with that chip on his shoulder, great possession receiver. He can fly, flat out fly when he wants to. But Penny Hart is so much fun to talk to, so much fun to be around, so much fun to watch. I'm glad he was able to do that. And like I said, first punt return for a touchdown in school history. Yeah. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. We talked to Victor Hayward. And I asked him what the defense saw. And here's what he said.
What were you guys seeing out there that allowed you guys to capitalize on all the different looks they were giving you?
Well, it was nothing we haven't seen in practice. So, again, Coach Rico really prepared us this week. And the middle linebacker, Chase, you know, had solid coverage on my interception. I give him credit for that. Lane, getting in the passing lane, making the quarterback hurry that up. So, that was great by them.
There you go. Victor's great, too. Vic's great, real great guy. Let's see, is that all the... We got just the one clip? Okay. Yeah, we'll get to that one in a second. But overall, great effort. Coach, on the back end of that first one, was kind of getting into a little bit about something. Not sure... The crowd. We had a great crowd. Everybody there was making noise. Everybody was loud. It got rocking there for a good while, especially when everything was going well for the team, putting points on the board and really making stops on defense. But, God, where was everybody? I think Georgia Tech had a game down the road, but that doesn't usually detract from us that much. I think United had an away game, so that's not one. I don't know what kept some people away, but... Coach wanted us to help spread the message, wanted to make sure he was heard on this, so I'm going to give Coach the floor here on a clip from the end of the press conference before he got off the podium. He made this statement. I condensed it down a little bit, but you guys will definitely get where he's coming from on this, and I'm 100% behind Coach on this, so here is Coach Elliott.
Thank you all very much. Hey, y'all spread the word. I'm serious about this. I want to thank the... I want to thank the fans who are here today. I mean, I really do. I mean, this place is going to grow. And I just want them to know how important it is that we realize that they're up there in the stands. The one that do show up, the one that do scream, the one that do that really takes pride in our university and takes pride in this football team. I really want to thank them for coming out. There's big days ahead of us. And we're going to remember those people that are here for us. We're certainly going to remember. And I'm gonna remind each and every one of them that next week, bring two friends, bring three friends. Just grab them. I don't know if you got to kidnap them or whatever you got to do. But I promise you, this thing's, they're going to look back and say, God, what were we doing? What were we doing? But I want to thank everyone. There's exciting days ahead for us. Thank you all very much.
See, there you go. Thank you to everybody that was there. And for everybody who was there, hey, next time bring two friends, bring three friends. Tell everybody this is going to be the train you want to be on. It's leaving the station. There's plenty of time to still get on. You want to get on the Panthers train here. It's going to be, it's entertaining to watch. They are very entertaining watch. They are putting everything together. They're 1-0 in the conference. They're only 2-3 on the year. Guess what that means? You guys can probably hear me knock there. I do not want to jinx them in any bit. They are only 4 away from 2 straight bowl games. 4 wins away. They're playing. They have a fun, good schedule. I'm gonna preview here in a little while. The next game they got this Thursday, just tomorrow night, against the Troy Trojans. But they'll be in Troy tomorrow night. On the 18th, they'll be at Arkansas State, both those ESPNU games. End of this month, Coastal Carolina will be in Georgia State Stadium. Then we got Texas State the following week. Then they go see the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana. Then they go to App State, and then they finish up in Georgia State Stadium with Georgia Southern. Guess what? These are some good teams. Troy always plays somebody tough. So does ULM. Troy's always tough. Arkansas State's usually a good matchup. Coastal Carolina's building. Texas State, building. The Raging Cajuns, always ready to fight. I mean fight in a football term, not fight. App State has been trying to upset top 10, top 20 teams all year long, probably for the last decade. They are always tough. And Georgia Southern, every time Georgia State and Georgia Southern get together, you throw out the record books. You throw out the records. You throw out all that. It is just in the trenches, dogfight. Dogfight. But there's potential for at least 4 wins out of the, 7. Out of the remaining 7 games, there's at least 4 wins here. There's very big potential for that. And it's not just for that reason. And when Coach says, hey, kidnap if you have to, he's not saying actually kidnap them. But no, what he's saying by that is you need to convince people. You need to tell people. For one, for the people who are showing up, once again, thank you. But you need to let people know Georgia State is what you want to come watch. Kidnap is in air quotes. What he means by that, bring your friend. Your friend sitting around, yeah, man, I'm off this weekend. What are you doing? I'm going to the Georgia State game. You should come with me. That's absolutely what you should do. More people there. Come see people like me and Dimitri Chin. I got a good story about me and Dimitri here in a minute. He's going to join us in the next couple weeks. Within the next couple weeks, always enjoy the way he covers. You'll see him on a lot of the live Facebook shows we do at the stadium. This week we did he was on the halftime and post game. Does fantastic work. Shout out to Jarrell for his camera work on the halftime show. I thought they all come out well. I thought they all come out well. I want to tell this story. And then I'm going to talk some NCAA, and then we are going to get out of here. Because, for one, I'm excited for tomorrow night. We're going to be getting ready. Going to be watching that here at the studio, Impact Media Studio West. We are getting everything in. We're working out some of the kinks. But also, it's opening night of hockey. And you guys know I'm a big hockey guy. Bruins, Capitals. Capitals are going to raise the banner. It's going to be a lot of fun. Might be live tweeting during that if you guys want to hang out on Twitter and catch all that. But shout out to the Yankees A's who are in the AL wild card game. Shout out to the Cubs for a valiant effort last night. Rockies were able to pull that out. But so many good things going on in sports. That's why we want to talk about them now. But let me tell you the me and Dimitri story. So we all know that I was going to do a post-game show. Dimitri asked where I was going to do it, and I said, probably on the field. So we walk out of the press conference room, which is actually in the Braves' old locker room. It still has some of the halos and banners up. Just a fantastic room to be in. I'll put some of the pictures up sometime. But so none of the rest of them wanted to come be on the show. They all had things they needed to do. So me and Dimitri, we ended up having to take the long way because there wasn't really a shorter way back out onto the field. So we take the long way. We're passing a lot of the UL Monroe parents and boosters and other people, and they're all carrying these big boxes of Dreamland Barbecue. That was their catered meal. If you never had Dreamland, eating Dreamland Barbecue, it puts you in Dreamland. It's some just fantastic stuff. And if Dreamland wanted to sponsor this podcast, I would be all for it. You could pay me in barbecue and sides. But so we keep seeing them, and this one really nice lady was carrying about four or five, and kind of muttered to Dimitri. Nobody heard us say this, but I said, I really like you, UL Monroe, and the Warhawks, and they're really nice, and I'm a fan of the Warhawks, and obviously we cover Georgia State, and we're big fans of them, obviously, but I like the Warhawks, and really cool to have that barbecue. And he's like, he kind of picked up on me kind of playing around. Oh yeah, man, I'm a Warhawks fan too. Of course, Georgia State's number one, but I'm a Warhawks fan too. And we just kind of chuckle a little bit. And we walk around the corner, which is basically the back bullpen area where it used to be for the Braves. And there is a ULM coach, I believe, who walks out of their locker room, which is right there. He walks out of their locker room. And he walks right up to a table that's got a couple of those Dreamland boxes on it. And he turns to us and he says, hey, you fellas want one of these? I said, well, if all you're going to do is throw them away, then yeah, we'll take them. And he says, oh, yeah, because, everybody has one. We have all these extras. So me and Dimitri went and grabbed a box apiece, and holy crap, was this stuff good. So that's probably why we're in such a good mood for the post game. It's not just that we were in the end zone and having fun because of the score and all that, but we knew what was awaiting us in those boxes. Let me tell you what was in this box. There was two gigantic barbecue sandwiches. They were dry as far as there was no sauce on them. You didn't need sauce. But they were bigger than a Big Mac. They were just gigantic sandwiches. There's two of those. And also, there was a thing of baked beans. They were incredible. I had those eaten before I got out of the parking lot. I had a giant chocolate chip cookie. He had Oreos, apparently, which, once again, we had those eaten before we got out of the parking lot. There was a thing of barbecue sauce in there. There was, what am I missing? See, it was the sandwiches, it was the beans, it was the cookies, it was the sauce, it was a small bag of Lay's chips, and I think it was something else, but this, just unbelievable. So, shout out to the coaching staff, especially the one coach who allowed us to have one of those. Wow. Thank you so much. Wasn't expecting that whatsoever, but I definitely enjoyed it. I actually came home and ate majority of it that day, and I've eaten the rest of it since. But, yeah, what a great story. Me and Dimitri had a fun time, actually. We explored parts of the stadium we have not been to, and we'll tell you a little more of those stories as he joins us on here. But now let's talk a little bit about week 5 of the NCAA. I knew Northwestern would play Michigan tight. In fact, Michigan got real lucky at the end, was able to secure the victory there. Northwestern's a good team. They're going to spoil a lot of people's seasons. Was glad to see Michigan pick up the win there. Felt bad for the Raging Cajuns, but they did hang 14 points on Alabama. Alabama hung 56 on them. Georgia did what they needed to against Tennessee. Clemson, Syracuse, just like I said, was going to be very close. Clemson pulled it out. The interesting thing on this was Travis Etienne had 27 carries for 203 yards and three touchdowns. I talked a little bit about this on some of the live shows. And they were actually to, what was his name? Something Bryce. Chase Bryce. Chase Bryce had to come in because, well, the Clemson quarterback, not the one who's transferring, but the other one, got hurt. He had a head neck injury. He was out for precautionary reasons, plus he was not clear to come back in. But Bryce did enough to keep him in it, and he made sure that Travis Etienne was able to get the carries he needed. And 27-23, hey, they get the win. They hang on to it. Ohio State beats Penn State in a nail-biter. I was able to come home and watch this, and it did not disappoint whatsoever. I could see either or both of these in the final discussion at the end of the year to be in the playoff. 27-26 on that one, but number four over number nine. Penn State, don't hang your head. This was an incredible, incredible game. Let's see. There was another one I wanted to tell you guys about. Notre Dame, 38-17 over Stanford. Just, I don't know what happened. I was watching a lot of that, but it was a really late game, so I didn't catch the end of it. Stanford is still an incredible team. They're just an incredible team. But Notre Dame just put the pedal to the metal, and Stanford just couldn't keep up with them. But at 4-1, and they didn't drop all that much, I don't see a problem there. Auburn does what they need to do against Southern Mississippi. Washington beats BYU, just like I said they would. Told you to take West Virginia over Texas Tech. Hey, Red Raiders came to play. They absolutely came to play. But they don't have Showtime Mahomes down there. And West Virginia beat them 42-34. That was a good game. I saw a lot of it as well. Kentucky continues to roll. They're 5-0 now. Beat the Gamecocks of South Carolina. Texas 19-14 over Kansas State. I told you Texas is you should take Texas, but Kansas State is going to play them close. Number 19, Oregon, 42-24 over 24 California. Cal's a good team. They're not exceptionally good, but they're a good team. They'll end up in the top 20, I believe. But Oregon's starting to climb again. You got to watch out for those guys. They lost early, which means as long as they don't have another loss, they're going to be there towards the end. Just want to give a shout-out to the Central Michigan effort against Michigan State, number 21 Michigan State. You did hang 20 points on them. Unfortunately, they scored 11 more than you did and picked up the victory. Virginia Tech, 31-14, knocks off number 22 Duke. That's going to make basketball season that much more fun. And Florida with the big upset over Mississippi State. I told you guys, take the Gators. Mississippi State only got two field goals in this one, and that is not enough to do it. So congratulations to all the people. I think of all the picks I had, I'm gonna write some of these down because for next week, because I think I went like 8-2 in picks, and I went 9-1 in outcomes. I know what you're thinking. How can he do that? Well, it's because I told you a game was going to be really close in a final score. We'll get it. Games to watch this time around. We'll see how many I end up picking. You got number 19, Texas, who's going to travel to Oklahoma, number 7. I say you take Oklahoma in this one. They are favored by 8. I think Oklahoma is going to win this one. It's going to be pretty close, probably somewhere in the 30s. You know, one of those 34-30 type deals. But that should be a really good game. That's a 12 p.m. kickoff. That's going to be in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. 12 p.m. kickoff on Fox. So make sure to check that one out. Michigan-Maryland should be pretty good. Maryland traveling to Michigan. I still think John Harbaugh needs a few signature wins. This could be one of them. It's going to be the 12 o'clock, the noon kickoff on ABC. I think you take Michigan in this one. I think it's going to be one of those 27-20 type deals. Michigan State is hosting Northwestern. Michigan State at number 20 now. Sorry, I'm trying to write as we're doing this. The way Michigan State's been playing, Northwestern, I'm going to go ahead and call it. Northwestern is going to win this 30-27. I'm going to call the upset right there. Northwestern in that one. You got Boston College at 4-1 against number 23 NC State. I'm going to go ahead and call Boston College on that one. I think you take Boston College. That's a 12:30 kickoff on the ACC network. Go ahead and take Boston College in that one. 27-21 in that one. Let's see. We've got four games. Yeah. Actually, Clemson-Wake Forest is not going to be bad. You still think Clemson in that one, which is what I'm going to write down here. Still take Clemson, but it is in Wake Forest. So it's going to be a lot closer. Clemson keeps getting closer and closer on these games. They are 19-point favorites. I think you don't bet on them with those points. Over-under at 62. Take the under. So I'm going to call that instead of a score on that one. Number 5, LSU, will be at the newly ranked Florida Gators, who are number 22. Take LSU. LSU's favored by 2.5. You take that. I'm going to say plus the points. Take that. They're going to win by more than 2.5. Over under 43.5. Yeah, I think it's going to be over. I think most of these teams are going to score 25 or better. It's going to be really good. It's going to be really close. It's going to be a great SEC battle, but take LSU over Florida. Any other games we need to really attend to here? Yeah, we'll do that one. Kentucky, number 13, Kentucky, is traveling to Texas A&M. Take Kentucky. Texas A&M is favored in this one. Take Kentucky outright. Once again, it's going to be close, but Kentucky's going to pull this one out. Auburn, Mississippi State. Mississippi State is probably going to lose its third in a row. I'm not going to write that one down. Wisconsin will roll over Nebraska. Here we go. Number 6, Notre Dame is traveling to number 24, Virginia Tech. Take the Irish big. The Irish are the 6-point favorites. Take them plus the points. They're going to win by at least 10 points. Stanford and Utah is the last game. So we picked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We picked 8 there. We'll see how good we do with those. Those are some of the big matchups coming up. Hope you guys enjoyed everything here. I believe that's going to do it for us, right? Yep, it's going to do it for us. I am Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us on the game plan. Shout out to Georgia State for the big win. Good luck against Troy tomorrow night, guys. I'm not sure if we'll do any Facebook Live or any kind of things like that, as we'll be doing our regular show here. But past that, shout out to Georgia State. Shout out to the Warhawks of University of Louisiana Monroe, especially the coaching staff. Shout out to Dreamland Barbecue, to the Troy Trojans, and to listeners like you guys. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio, Impact Media, as always. Jeremy the Impact York. This has been The Game Plan. It's a lot better when you win. See you guys next week. Go Panthers.
These guys are warriors.